Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. Phil DeLone, he's the president and CEO of the Reno Sparks Convention and Visitors Authority. Plus on the Power Pundit panel, Mac Bibee, Elisa Cafferata, and Brian Wachter. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome to the program for the first time Phil DeLone. He's the president and CEO of the Reno Sparks Convention and Visitors Authority. Pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
It's a delight to be here, Sam.
So, first question, El Dorado Resorts takes over Tropicana Resorts. Your thoughts?
I think it's a phenomenal move.
$2 billion.
Yes, $2 billion. The El Dorado Resorts International Company, which is chaired by Gary Carano as president and CEO, have really been on a growth and acquisition platform the last several years. And they have invested, of course, here right here at home in the Silver Legacy, El Dorado, and Circus, which they now own completely through that corporation. But this expansion with Tropicana will give them seven or more properties throughout the United States, including the venerable Tropicana in Atlantic City, right here at home, the Mont Bleu at South Shore Lake Tahoe, a beautiful hotel with an excellent location. And then there are a number throughout the Midwest that they will
right,
acquire.
And they get Laughlin as well?
They do pick up Laughlin. They do not get the hotel in Las Vegas.
No,
or
that
Aruba.
Was sold off yes. by Icon quite a long time ago. So the people that own the M Resort own that. And in fact, it's the same company that owns the ground because as part of that deal, it's one of these REITs, the real estate trusts. And so GPL owns the land except under Mount Blue, and then they lease it back to the El Dorado. I think it's an initial 15-year period and then renewals beyond that.
Yes, and I believe some of the other resorts that they are acquiring in this transaction are structured the same way, where the bricks and mortar will be owned by a real estate investment trust, and El Dorado Resorts will then operate the gaming and traditional hotel operations.
Interesting, too, that they picked up a property in Laughlin as part of this deal. And I remember Anthony Marnell III was on the program, and he was talking about how much synergy there was between the visitors to the Sparks Nugget and the visitors to his property in Laughlin. And so he was able to market to both of those and bring new people to Northern Nevada.
Well, El Dorado Resorts International is a great company, has great leadership. They are well-financed and very well-respected in the gaming and hospitality community. So I wish them the greatest success, as I'm sure you do as well.
Of course.
And I think we will see a lot of fantastic news out of that company in the years to come.
Well, I think that there may be one more announcement that may be imminent, which is that there's now talk because of the problems in Massachusetts for Wynn Resorts with the Gaming Control Board there, that there's talk that MGM will give up the Springfield property because you're only allowed to have one license in Massachusetts. They will take what is now Wynn Boston. And then one of the companies mentioned as a possible contender for the Springfield property is El Dorado Resorts, and they've got the cash to do it.
Well, that would be fantastic if that happened.
Okay, so what does this mean for the RSCVA in terms of how you look at the potential for bringing more people, more conventions to the area? And I must point out that you did work for the Silver Legacy, and in speaking to people who were at the Silver Legacy when you were there, they say that you were the best national sales director they ever had.
Well, that's quite a compliment. Thank you.
And also, you were a director of the Safari Club, which is a huge convention.
That's
and
correct.
So Reno was unbelievably lucky to be able to land somebody like you to head up the convention authority.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. I think Reno is really coming into its own now. You know, during the recession, things were a little quiet. But in the last 5 years, with first and foremost the number of corporations that have moved into northern Nevada, just east of us, of course, we have the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center with household names such as Panasonic and Tesla and Switch and Rackspace Hosting and a long menu of other names as well. And that has really fueled, I believe, a resurgence in our hospitality community here and has brought a new focus to our region. Also, now that we are out of the recession, all the hotel properties in town have reinvested into themselves. So all of the major resorts show terrifically. They have new guest rooms, new public areas, new casino floors, new machines. And I think now with coupled with our new branding and marketing campaign that's been extremely well received in the Western United States, I think people, tourists, are realizing that northern Nevada, Lake Tahoe and Reno has a tremendous product to offer.
And, you know, it's exciting. At the same time, you know, obviously growth brings issues. One of the issues is we don't have enough housing. So at a time when some properties have more rooms than perhaps they can utilize, you've got Panasonic and other companies taking up big chunks of room. Circus, for example, 500 rooms are being used by Panasonic.
Yes. Every week there are hundreds of executives and employees coming in to northern Nevada to work at the industrial center, whether it be short-term or long-term. And because of our shortage of affordable housing, many of them are staying in some of our select service properties around town, as well as the resorts that you've mentioned. But the forecast is for at least the next 3 to 5 years that the economic health here will stay strong, and we expect that that trend will continue until the housing market catches up with the demand.
You know, I've talked to several prominent casino owners in town, and they're of a mind that we're at the beginning of a 20-year run.
Yes, that's been well published. There are several Wall Street firms that have gone on record that believe that we are on the curve of a 20-year run. You know, we've looked at population here. Currently in this valley that we all enjoy living in, there's around 615,000 people from as far south as Minden to as far east as Fernley and Reno Sparks and Incline Village. And the governor's Department of Economic Growth and Economic Development, they believe that by as early as 2023, perhaps 2024, that we'll have 725,000 to 750,000 inhabitants living here. And so that is a steady, conservative upward trend for population growth, which will then equate to a steady, conservative trend in tourism growth, as well as air service for the community and the attraction of additional corporations and employers coming here.
All right, let's take a break. More with Phil Vallone. He's the head of the RSCVA when we come back.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Phil Dallone. He's the president and CEO of the Reno Sparks Convention and Visitors Authority. Okay, so let's talk about a couple of different things here. One of the big drawbacks to the RSCVA for many, many years was that out of your budget, you had to pay to run all the facilities. That is now moved out, and now you have more funds to be able to do your marketing.
Well, because of the growth in tourism and the increase in the average rate, which is now at $100 or certainly close to that.
The average daily room rate.
Yes, sir. The room tax collections have increased over time. We now operate the RSCVA on a $43 million budget. Our room tax in Washoe County is at 13%. The RSCVA does not keep all of it. Some of it goes to the City of Reno, City of Sparks, Washoe County, and Incline Village to help operate their tourism-driven enterprises. But the RSCVA itself is operating on a $43 million budget. Fortunately, because the economy is healthy, we have been able to increase dramatically the amount of money spent on marketing, what we do with traditional print media, billboard and outdoor media, and most importantly, what we do on the internet through digital marketing. And I think that has certainly helped expose people in the Western United States to our product here. We still operate five facilities. Those include the Reno Sparks Convention Center, which was originally built as the Centennial Coliseum in 1966. We operate for the state of Nevada, the Reno Sparks Livestock Event Center, which was formed 132 years ago via land grant from the state. And we operate for the city of Reno, the Reno Event Center, and the National Bowling Stadium, which has been probably responsible for nearly 2 million room nights of business since its development in 1995.
And most people in northern Nevada have no clue how important the National Bowling Stadium has been to this community. Without that, we would have been in so much trouble. And the contracts that were signed back in the day, just unbelievable. Let me ask you a couple of questions here because we only got about a minute and a half left. Do we need more rooms in town? And are you looking at an expansion of the convention center to be able to accommodate larger conventions?
Well, to quickly answer that question for you, we have sufficient first-class hotel rooms. We have an inventory of 15,500 rooms in the city, which is more than adequate inventory to service the citywide conventions that come here. We are proposing expanding the convention center by 300,000 square feet. This is not a novel idea. The center has expanded a number of times over the decades, but there are two reasons why we need to expand. The first is to provide a satisfactory home that is large enough for our existing citywide conventions, such as Interbike, which will visit Reno in September, and followed by Safari Club International, which will return in January, and others.
And both of those are huge.
Yes, both of those bring 20,000 room nights minimum to our destination. They're valued at $21 to $22 million in economic impact every time they come here. To help facilitate that, we've recently turned over the day-to-day operations of our convention center and the other three buildings to an international firm called SMG that is based in Philadelphia. They are the world's largest operator of convention centers, theaters, and special event buildings.
And that's where we have to leave it for now. Come back soon. Got lots more questions for you.
Thanks for having me, Sam. Pleasure. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure having you on. And we'll be right back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Mac Bybee is here, President and CEO of the Associated Builders and Contractors. Elisa Cafferata is Principal with Cafferata & Company. And Brian Wachter is Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada. Welcome to you all. The Nevada Independent put out a story yesterday that Steve Sisolak and Christian Kiliani are both going to oppose the choice for question three. In the upcoming election, it's interesting because this is being driven, Mac, by the AFL-CIO, correct?
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't surprise me. They both vying for labor support. Labor's 100% behind MV Energy. And reality is that MV Energy right now is actually putting out union-only contracts to the IBEW. So all of this alignment really isn't that surprising.
This is going to be the biggest battle, Elisa, in this election?
I think we're going to see a lot of battles, although it's not much of a battle between the two Democratic primary contenders. They're going to be the same on a lot of issues, so it's going to be hard for them to distinguish themselves from one another. But I think this also relates to, you know, what the ratepayers are going to be stuck paying for. And that's the concerns I've started hearing about energy choice, is that once you get some of the big players out, then the infrastructure is still something the ratepayers at NV Energy have to cover the cost for. So it's really going to be sort of major corporate folks getting out of paying their fair share of that.
Brian, is that your take on it? Or is this really just a question of the folks who are anti-question three spreading fear?
No, I agree with both Mac and Elisa. It's going to be an issue, and I think you're going to see a lot of money spent, and we've already seen promises of a lot of money spent on both sides. I think we're going to see this issue ad nauseum into November, and I think it will probably play a central role in that gubernatorial campaign.
And it's interesting, too, because the biggest sponsors in favor of question three, of course, are Sheldon Adelson and Switch. So there's no shortage of money to put into this.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, and it's going to raise the cost of every election. I mean, anybody who's going to want airtime is now going to have to compete with, you know, this $30 million question. And it's going to raise the cost of, I think, almost every statewide election.
Absolutely. And, of course, as somebody who sells advertising on a political program, I'm not complaining. But issue advertising, unlike the regular advertising for politicians, the stations can charge whatever they want. I mean, if they want to say it's $100,000 and there's no choice, there's no negotiating.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, with Laxalt and Heller at the top of the ticket and all the outside money coming in for both Heller and Rosen, it's just, it's going to be hard for anybody down ticket to break through.
One of the things, that brings up an interesting point, Elisa, which is, how much control are the candidates in some of these races going to have when all these outside groups are going to be coming into Nevada, which is still, thankfully, a purple state, or at least the Washoe County portion of it is purple. you know, for them to control their own messages.
Right. I mean, in the last U.S. Senate race, we saw $100 million being spent and only 20 million of it was by the candidates. And this is now we're not in the top 5 or 10. We're the number one race to flip. So I do think that a lot of the money's coming from outside, and it's a result of the Citizens United decision. And unfortunately, now the candidates, they cannot coordinate with those independent expenditures. So they have no control of the message. And it's really changed the whole nature of an election, because you do have these outside groups, although some, like Planned Parenthood, is spending money in this race because it's so important. And it's based on what the activists here, you know, stand for. But still, we have to work independently from the candidate, so they don't have control over the message of most of it.
Brian, one of the things that's being talked about a lot lately is a blue wave in this country. But looking at the polling data over the last few election cycles, how much faith do you put in that? Or do you believe, as I do, that it's still up in the air?
Oh, I think it's still up in the air. I think anyone who's talking about, you know, a wave election is really kind of picking and choosing, you know which elections or maybe which special elections to look at. Pennsylvania, yeah, you know, the Democrat there, but it was a Democrat registration district. And even though, you know, Trump had performed, I think we're going to see a kind of a wall between national politics and maybe some of these state legislative districts, to where I think voters are going to be voting differently in those two races. So, you know, I think it's going to play a huge role, but I don't see this Democratic wave. I think in 14, although, you know, we didn't see a Republican wave, we saw Democrats just not turn out. And I think that's a more likely result in November, is that one group might just become so frustrated that it becomes more difficult to turn out those particular voters. I see that as more likely, but I'm not seeing a huge crest of overwhelming momentum on either party. I think momentum is high on both sides.
And Mac, one of the things that I've been hearing is that Chris Gee has such big grassroots support that if she ends up not being the candidate that comes out of the primary, that a lot of Democrats are just not going to turn out to vote.
You know, I don't necessarily know if that's the case. They always say that in primaries. But yeah, the understanding I have and what I'm hearing is the grassroots Democrats and the parties are starting to align behind Chris Gee. They like her more as a candidate. And it just seems to be that she has the momentum in the primary right now.
All right, let's take a break. We're going to hold you guys over to our next show. So stick around and we'll be right back.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
On our next broadcast, we have a web-only special with Lieutenant Governor Mark Hutchison talks to Ray Hager and I. Plus, on the Power Pundit panel, we have Mac Bibee, Elisa Cafferata, and Brian Wachter.